Okay, I promised the council a break, but before we take one, I want to signal to people that have been waiting on a number of items that we're going to postpone most of them, but I would like to try to take 684 before we break because we have some folks here to speak on that item, and then signal everyone else that the council will take a 30-minute recess at the conclusion of this item, which will probably take us to roughly reconvening at 1:15.
Do we lose anybody from 1 to 2?
I don't believe so. Okay. So we'll take 684 before we break, and then we'll come back at 1:15.
684, authorize the submittal of a boundary change request to the state of Oregon to add 0.46 acres to the Portland Enterprise Zone.
Mr. Quinton, Mr. Rowe, come on up. Jared, come on up.
You want to pull that up?
Good afternoon. Thanks.
Good afternoon.
For waiting.
So I'll just kick it off. Jared Wiener is the PDC staff person responsible for the software and technology industry. He's going to lead us through the presentation on this. But basically, we're here to ask for an enterprise zone boundary change so that we can accommodate the growth of Jaguar Land Rover's Innovation Center here in Portland, a $4 million investment. So the program itself, you're all very familiar with the Enterprise Zone program. If they were to be located within the boundaries, they wouldn't be before you. They would have the right to apply and receive the benefit of the tax abatement on their investment. What we're asking for here today is a boundary change so that we can bring in the site that they've selected. And what we're going to walk you through is the agreement that we have with them that we think is an extraordinary improvement in what we've done in the past, and I think represents a great trade-off for us increasing and expanding the boundary of the program, foregoing, obviously, the tax revenue. But as you'll see, we think it's a template for how we can do future boundary changes, but also maybe how we operate the Enterprise Zone program in general going forward. So with that, I'll turn it over to Jared Wiener.
Thanks, Patrick. And as Patrick said, I'm Jared Wiener. I'm with the Portland Development Commission. And we also have Richard Rowe and Sarah Nelson from Jaguar Land Rover here, as well as Jeff Allen from Drive Oregon. And so we're here. The action we're looking for is to authorize the submittal of a boundary change request to the state of Oregon to add 0.46 acres to the Portland E-Zone. And the E-Zone, what this does is it allows for a 5-year property tax abatement on new capital investments, qualified investments, as well as there's an electronic commerce overlay to that, which provides a tax credit on personal or corporate income tax. The program has seen a lot of success through its time here within the city. We've received a total investment of $1.2 billion, a local procurement that's resulted from that of $58 million, and there's been 42 new projects since 2011. There's 12 that have occurred this year already, and then we have 8 potentially in the hopper sort of going forward as well, including this one. And so this project specifically would allow for Jaguar Land Rover to make a planned investment of $4 million, and that would allow them to create 50 to 80 new jobs with an average wage of approximately $90,000 a year, and then there's benefits on top of that. Most of these jobs would be graphic designers and engineers. In addition to sort of the typical job creation you'd see through the company, they've also are going to be doing a technology incubator in this space, which will produce roughly 10 to 12 companies per year will go through that incubator. So not only do we get Jaguar Land Rover with this project, but we also get to facilitate and foster new companies coming into Portland as well. And this is a benefit not just to the software industry, which I work with, but also to our clean tech industry as well. And Jaguar Land Rover should really be applauded for being a good corporate citizen and working with the city in a partnership on this effort, beyond just the typical E-Zone policies and pieces to that. They've also committed to doing things above and beyond, and it's really sort of setting a precedent for how we partner with our corporate citizens in town around a program here. So there's benefits here to sort of wage requirements that they've fully agreed to, as well as a commitment to hire underrepresented populations, and also to sort of foster more sort of economic activity, both through their incubator, through their company, to these communities that are traditionally underrepresented in the technology space. They're also going to be employing through internships youth students, 16 to 24-year-olds, as well as students at local colleges as well. And then they're also going to be actively engaged and are already actively engaged in the community, hosting 6 events annually, as well as working with 4 high school technology clubs through a calendar year. So the benefits go beyond just sort of traditional economic development benefits. And so with that, I'm happy to take any questions, and we also have Richard here who can share a little bit more on from Jaguar's perspective on this project.
Welcome, Richard.
Sure. Thank you. Afternoon. Thank you. So the Enterprise Zone is critical to solidify presence and expansion in Portland around technology and research and development, which is what Jaguar Land Rover is committed to. We looked at other cities up and down the West Coast, and we chose Portland for a number of reasons. We have collaboration partnerships existing before we came here with Intel and other software companies. We looked at it strategically and geographically. Because we're a car company, we like to test the car, so getting out into the road and driving around Oregon was also very beneficial and contributed to our decision. Also, the connections, we are quite close to the Bay and the companies there. We're also looking at the local talent here and looking to grow that talent by offering jobs in the community. We're excited because of the partnership we have with the public sector, such as PDC and Drive Oregon, and we're growing those relationships day by day. We have partnership benefits. Partnerships benefit our technology and the connection with the local community, such as job fairs and school events and other of the events that we host annually. We have commitment to equity, inclusion, and workforce development benefits. So this partnership will shape the next generation of our technology and how we engage the community, helping transition companies like ours to be more sophisticated mobility companies. For instance, the work we've done with PSU already in terms of looking at how we can make our cars and the roads safer for bicyclists in terms of the Bike Sense project. We value the community we're in, and we want to grow with it as the community grows. And we're excited that we're finding new ways to address challenges like diversity hiring, engagement, women who code, and inclusive entrepreneurships. We signed on the diversity pledge already, and we're taking active action to advance that. Thank you.
All right, thank you. Yeah, I noticed that your company was one that signed the diversity pledge. It was a story about that in the DJC yesterday. It's great.
Oh, good.
So just to clarify on that, does that include women and people with disabilities as well as communities of color?
Yes.
Great. And where in England is Jaguar's headquarters?
So the headquarters is now based in Gaydon. That's in the Midlands.
That's another reason you chose here, right? It's because they have the good sense to elect an ex-Brit. We might want to think about a sister city relationship in the UK.
Yeah,
maybe we could engage Jaguar in that
just
partnership
shameless.
Discussion.
Yes, she is. Yes.
Next thing she'll ask is for a loaner for Oni for their new car.
That would be nice. Good thought.
Yeah. Patrick, the question that we have to address on these E-Zone things is, is there sufficient public benefit? So according to the financial impact, Jaguar is proposing to make a $4 million investment, and the city's foregone revenue over 5 years is $73,000. So as you look at look at this and scrub it, you're confident that there's a significant public benefit for this change?
Yeah, I think this is, and Commissioner Novick and I have had conversations about this on numerous occasions. If you look at the Enterprise Zone program just at its face, investment for tax abatement, the big question is the but-for question. Would they have made the investment otherwise, or are we attracting investment that wouldn't occur? Because it's foregone future revenue. It's not, we're not giving up existing revenue. And I think that's still, there's still debate out there because it's hard to know really whether companies would invest or not. The benefit of this is that on top of that, and we know the $4 million investment, what it'll pay for over a long period of time, is we have negotiated benefits that we can say then I think the collection of those vastly exceed what we're giving up. Even the normal enterprise zone program has, through our business equity programs, you know, working with minority contractors, working with local suppliers, the first source hiring agreements, all that provides public benefits. But what Jaguar is agreeing to is extraordinary. It will be a kind of new standard for public benefit agreements that we have in the enterprise zone program. So the opportunity to have a signature company sign on to the diversity pledge and then and create a more diverse workforce here, or to work with diverse entrepreneurs, that is worth, I mean, we invest in that. That's that we make active investments in those programs on our own. So to have a partner doing that work, that's money that we're not investing. So that's my long way of saying absolutely. I think we feel very confident that this is this is an investment on our part that will pay off in many ways.
Great.
So part of this agreement includes the average salary is $90,000, but you are committing to at least $15 an hour for all other employees, I guess, other than those making 90.
Absolutely. Yeah. Okay.
And then I was curious, you mentioned the PSU is it Bike Sense?
Bike Sense, yeah. So we did a workshop with students from PSU, and we looked at problems, and what came out of that workshop was the fact that people are getting knocked off their bikes by cars, and,
right.
and what could we do to help that? So we did a brainstorm session around that, and we fed those ideas back into the UK, and they prototyped a concept video, which is on YouTube, and you can Google that on YouTube, search for that. It's called Bike Sense. And it's basically how we can integrate existing technologies in our cars to warn the drivers that there are bicyclists around and not to open the doors or not to drive the car. And if we can link in that with the communities and the other OEMs, and we can, you know, put a network together through, like, Drive Oregon, then all cars can have this kind of safety feature as well.
Great. Forward. Well, I hope you will pilot that here in Portland. So
that's great. Yeah. Great idea. Other questions for this team? Thank you all very much. Appreciate you waiting.
So,
I know we have
so
some
Jeff
others,
Allen is here
speak.
From Drive
yes.
Oregon. Yes. Maybe quickly say a few words.
Absolutely. Come on up, Jeff.
Thanks.
Sarah, you can come up too. All right.
Thank you. I know I'm between you and your lunch, so I'll be quick. My name is Jeff Allen. I'm executive director of Drive Oregon, which actually began around 2010 when PDC started convening companies in the electric vehicle space and supply chain and thought there was something to this cluster. And we now have over 100 member companies, and we're funded in large part by Business Oregon with lottery dollars as part of the state economic development strategy. And JLR has been, I say JLR because I have not learned to say Jaguar properly and reliably. They've been a great partner and a member pretty much from the time they moved to Oregon. We've done events there. What we found is both that they're very committed to building the automotive and automotive software and mobility ecosystem here in Oregon, and they really mean that, and they really do it in an open source kind of way and transparent way. But they're also a tremendous ambassador for us. We were just with some of their staff over in South Korea at a global electric vehicle conference, and it's huge for us to talk about the automotive software industry in Oregon to have a company like Jaguar Land Rover to point to alongside some of our other members who are still working out of their garages. So that mix of large companies like JLR, Mentor Graphics, Intel, and those small startups is really powerful. I just wanted to put a little context of not only why is this important just on the face for the jobs, but what it means for our industry and for putting Oregon on the map globally in this industry. I think it's probably the most exciting development of the last 4 or 5 years that I've been working in this space here in Portland. When we looked at where are the opportunities in the electric vehicle advanced mobility supply chain in Oregon, the first thing I said is, well, we don't make cars. Right? I went to school in Michigan. That's where they make cars. Maybe Georgia now they make cars. But we know software and electronics and embedded systems. And one of the things I've been learning about these vehicles is today's cars look a lot more like a computer that happens to have wheels on it than they do like a car that happens to have some electronics in it. One of my favorite sound bites is that the Chevy Volt has more lines of computer code in it than a 787 Dreamliner from Boeing. My programming friends tell me that's mostly a commentary on the poor programming skills at Chevy, but needless to say, there's a lot of technology in these cars. An executive at Apple recently pointed out that the car is the ultimate mobile device, and we're seeing this huge interconnection between connected vehicle technology, Internet of Things, cars. It's a big opportunity for Oregon. We know a few things about software. And we believe that there's also a unique piece about Oregon, which is most of the world is using this technology or seeing this technology as a way to pack more cars on the freeway going twice as fast and only 6 inches apart. And Oregon is kind of an outlier, as we often are, in asking questions like, how could you use this technology to make cycling safer and reduce right hooks? How could you use this to improve transit services and, you know, help companies like Globe Sherpa continue to grow here? So we have both that kind of sustainable mobility niche and this software expertise, and we think this incubator is really going to help drive the growth of that ecosystem in itself, but also through all these startup companies that are going to be coming through the incubator. Drive Oregon has made a commitment to this project. First of all, we've committed one of our matching grants of $50,000 that's contingent on the launch of the incubator. But we've also committed to help recruit companies into the incubator and help support and mentor those companies in the incubator. And then importantly, to help make sure that they stay in Oregon as they grow. And I think this will attract both local interest from the software community in working in this space, but there's also some real potential to pull folks out of California, where most of the automotive companies have their software design centers. Bring them up here, put them through the incubator, and after they've been in Oregon for 6 months, especially if they're here in the right 6 months, they're never going to want to leave. If they're here between November and April, it might be a little harder. But if we time it right and they're here on a day like today, I think we can keep them here.
So. That's great.
Thank you, Jeff. Questions for Jeff? Thank you all very much. Anyone else want to speak on this item? If not, then let's take a roll call vote on the resolution, please.
Aye.
Saltzman.
This is a great additional investment, and happy to support it. Aye.
Novick.
Richard, I have to say that the commitments your company are making today are very much at odds with the unflattering portrayal of Jaguar in the show Mad Men. Aye.
Fritz.
Well, thank you to Patrick and the team for doing this. I'm a big fan of the Enterprise Zones. I have not previously been a big fan of British car companies, and I was born in Sutton Coalfield. I'm very proud to be associated with this work that you're doing. Thank you for coming to Oregon. You can tell other immigrants who might be homesick for good home cooking that Tabor Tavern on East Burnside has the best fish and chips in the state of Oregon. Aye.
Hales.
Well, you know, the council will remember we just approved an updated strategic plan from Portland Development Commission, which said we have three jobs, create jobs, build the city, and share prosperity. And this is at least a twofer, because this company is promising to really create opportunity for more people while we grow the job base here. And that's exactly what we had in mind. And we can write those words on a strategic plan and adopt it, but it requires that the private sector step up and help. So we really appreciate your company doing that. This is really an excellent commitment to shared goals, and we look forward to your success. Aye. Thank you all. We're recessed till 1:15.
Thank you.